get 8 or 29 together. But the prophets speak two or three together in church. If any be revealed to another, that sitteth behind, let the first hold his peace. For he may all prophesy one by one, and all may learn, and all may be comforted. Now, we realize that these are gifts, sign gifts, given to the early church, and told before the New Testament was completed. The Old Testament, they had certain prophets as well, so when the Old Testament was completed, that's what they went by. And that when the Bible would be completed in 90 to 100 A.D., all these gifts were finished and completed, as we saw from 1 Corinthians 13. So these were gifts in the body, in the church, because they didn't have a completed Bible at that time. So in verse 29, what does it say about the prophets? The gift of prophets, same thing.
It says, let the prophets speak to me, let the others judge.
So, in other words, the prophets took by two or three at the most, even when they had the gift of prophecy, and the other just listen and judge. Then, verse number 30, what about something's revealed to someone else? Go back to that.
Well, it seems like it says that the other is singular.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 29, let the other judge.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if the prophets speak two or three, and so you have two of them speaking, and the third one would judge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very limited as far as what is taking place here in this orderly manner here. It's not very orderly, even with the prophets.
Even before they get the prophecy, before the Bible is completed. And then, what about something revealed to another prophet? What should take place in verse number 30? That's kind of
the first person that was speaking, he needs to be quiet.
All right. First, hold his peace and be quiet. My questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment on the here for me. In other words, don't interrupt. If a gift of prophecy has been given in the early church times, don't have them just jibber-jibber and interrupt one another. But the less the second one hold their peace. Then verse 31, what is another qualification that there's a gift of prophecy in the early church? What's another rule? It's not
one, or
better,
right?
One at a time. One at a time, that's exactly right. One at a time, and that's what, and what's the purpose of being one at a time? Why? It's
hard to hear two people talk at one time.
That's right. They're not to each other. It's hard to work at one time. And also, why else is they one at a time? In this verse number 31. At 10.
So that all may learn.
Then they learn. Now, if both of them are talking one after another, interrupting, I got to learn. Pardon? That's the matter. Okay, see if I get this. I think I can get it up. There it is. I got it. Just a minute, Barbara. Okay, go ahead, Barbara. I want to leave my phone up for a moment. Go ahead, Barbara. Barbara Master from New Jersey.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, everybody. In verse 31, that all may learn and be comforted, goes back to verses 3 and 4 at the beginning of the chapter. The key to prophesy and speaketh unto men in edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in another tongue and flyeth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Yes.
This is for the edification of the entire church, that they may learn and be comforted.
Very good. Let's wave to Barbara. Thank you, Barbara. Let's wave to Barbara Master over there in Jersey. So we're back there. Let's put this right over here so there's no problem. Put it right there so I can pick it up and not follow it up. So, as she said in verse 31, it goes back to these other verses in the chapter. And prophecy is for learning. All in the most good attempt.
Hello to all from York, Pennsylvania.
York, Pennsylvania. That's our granddaughter, Anna. Let's wave to Anna in York, Pennsylvania. And you keep talking, Anna. Tell us what's on your mind as the thing progresses. So do they learn? And what is the second thing in verse 31?
Be comforted.
Be comforted. What does it mean to be comforted? the hands of the body.
Needs to be encouraged. He needs to have someone understand you and listen to you.
All right. Encourage, understandment, and comfort. The scriptures will give us comfort. Oh, my Lord, the word is the scripture. Now let's read verse 1. So
the prophecy is supposed to comfort, I guess. Mm-hmm. So if you can't understand the prophecy, it can't comfort.
That's right.
You have to have an interpreter to comfort by it.
As Robert and Lester were back to verse 3, an education actually is a comfort.
Well, it seems like the learning is going to bring them the comfort.
Yes.
And without the learning, they're not going to be able to be comforted.
Right, learning scriptures to comfort them.
Right.
Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261, 918, give us a call or comment. All right, let's read first number. Let's see, which one did we cover? 32, 33, 34, is that it?
Yeah.
And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but peace is in all the churches of the saints. Let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under the obedience, as also saith the law. My verse number 3, or my verse number 32, right? Now what is, should be true of the spirits of these scientific prophets in the Old Testament?
Scripture says God is not the author of confusion.
All right, and so verse 32, the first. Verse 32, first question.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
That's true, 33. Is that the author
of the subject to the prophets?
All right, the spirits are subject. What does that mean to have something subject to the prophets, the spirits? Subject to the head of it? Yes, Bill.
I think that means that the Lord gave his words to the prophets, who in turn gave them to us.
It's possible. I have found it in that verse 32. Spirits are subject to the prophets. What do I mean? Yes,
I think, in other words, the spirits of the prophets, if they are prophesying, they better be lining up with the, like you're in subjection to what to the actual law of what
that's scripture
would be.
All right. So some people talk about anything subjection to their own feelings. Just talk about it. So this, well, someone to be subject to someone, that means you just don't rattle off and there's a subjection of the spirit. That's what that's got something, and we'll continue. Go ahead, Bishop.
We have this question here from California. Some of the prophecy become doctrine from Georgia Bonnet Walls.
Georgia Bonnet Walls. That's the latest Georgia Bonnet in California. Very good. Does some of the prophecy become scriptures again then?
Some of the prophecies become doctrine.
Right now, if God gave the scripture, or to some of the prophecy, the gift of prophecy, finally become doctrine, well, I believe that it won't stay as doctrine unless the Holy Spirit guides the writers and they combine that thing. But I don't know that the prophecy in these early days, before there was a Bible, could automatically turn into scripture until it's written down by the guidance of the writers that God uses. Pastor, let me give you an idea of that. What do you think?
I mean, the point of the sum, key word is sum. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them got spake as they removed.
Mm-hmm.
Only some of this became doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
Where is the sum?
It's in the question. It's in the question from the email.
That's your Bonnet Walls, yes, from California. Some of it possibly could, but the men whom God used to write the scripture through the Holy Spirit to give the words so they could be led to write these things may not be one of the ones with the gift of prophecy. So it could be. So it could be.
During you think of Paul and Peter,
mm-hmm.
and James and Philip, and some of the apostles, mm-hmm. when certainly some of them perhaps gave prophecy in the context of 1 Corinthians 14 here, and in some of those instances, it's possible that doctrine is simply teaching, you know, teaching or belief or something, you know, that we have to have more sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to teach. Paul wrote to Timothy, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to have sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
it's very important for that to be sound.
Right.
They said not only these prophecies were unbiblical prophecies, they were biblically based prophecies, and so it could be some type of foundational truth for some type of doctrine. I mean, it doesn't say scripture; it says doctrine. And we have doctrine. Doctrine is supposed to be based upon scripture.
Right.
Doctrine we have today. We develop doctrine. We have theology and so forth. Our theology, our doctrine, needs to be based upon scripture. Mm-hmm. And so some of this may be the basis for the foundation of some doctrine. Some of these problems, we don't know what they are. You know, what some of them are, perhaps, but not all of them.
Yeah, tell me that's a question.
Well, I was just thinking about this verse and what you were asking, and it seems like the spirit of the prophets refers to those that were prophesying in the state,
mm-hmm.
and that are subject to the prophets. That seems like it might be the prophets who went before them, even in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. I mean, you know, in a time where it was written down. I don't know. It's just thought.
Well, one thing we do know, that those mm-hmm. things that are written in the New Testament books are God's words that he gave to these writers. We know that they may have been prophesied or not, but we know those are for sure written down in our truth, whether they're part of the, wasn't, has a different prophecy before then.
So let me do a follow-up question for Tammy here. So you're saying the spirit of the Old Testament prophets are subject to New Testament prophets?
Or the other way around?
No, the spirit of the prophets at this time are subject to the
Old Testament prophets
who had written, whose words had been written down in the scriptures.
So the first prophets, the New Testament prophets, one is in the context of 1 Corinthians, the second prophets were the prophets of the Old Testament.
So that's one of the reasons you could hold that. Otherwise, you could hold this. The spirits of those prophets before the Bible was finished, the spirits of those prophets that are prophesying are subject to their own spirit. So they should be subject to prophets, subject of themselves. In other words, they have to keep themselves in mind, not go off on wild. The spirits of the prophets, subject to the very same prophets he's talking about. That's another way of looking at it.
Yeah, there are many prophets that is going to be given here in the Church of Corinth, and any other church prior to the close of the canon could not contradict the scripture.
Right.
Could not contradict the previous scripture, the Old Testament canon, could not contradict it. And one thing whatsoever.
That's exactly right. Because these are links that are God's words that have been written down, they have it complete now, 90 to 100 AD. Then in verse number 33, what is one of the characteristics of God here? Very interesting. He has that's that.
Order.
Order. And what is not one of his characteristics? Characteristic orderliness.
Confusion.
That's right. That he's not of confusion. And we have a lot of the Pentecostal charismatics today. And you go into their churches with all the babbling down. They don't speak one at a time. They're not subject to themselves. They just go off and there's a lot of confusion. As I told you before, when I was a student at the University of Michigan, the man who was in charge of the cooking over there, one of the food places of the university, he would take some of us young men over there to Dr. DeHaan in Detroit, Michigan, from Ann Arbor, Detroit, every Friday, Detroit Bible class. And one week they didn't have it. I was there in Detroit, as I told you before, so I went into a church, it was a charismatic church, and they're bubbly, bubbly, bubbly. They're all talking at once, they're subject to themselves, so not one at a time, two at a time. I got out of there fast. Yeah, go.
I have a DVD of David Cloud, and he's talking about this very subject, and he showed scenes from a church where they have holy laughter, and then all the people in their seats, they're laughing and they're rolling in their chairs, and some of them are on the floor, and the pastor standing there smiling as if it was a wonderful thing, and that is confusion.
Does that go along with verse 33? Oh, sure, you got that one.
I've been in churches like that, and it's absolute chaos.
Yes. It's very something.
It's just, it just vexes your spirits. I mean, you have to leave. You can't stay there. And then they get up and sometimes they run. They get up and they run around and it's just something that it's so bizarre. I can't even imagine.
Right. Yeah,
call it bully laughter.
Oh yeah.
And Todd Bentley, a very immoral man, and a lot of his all these big crusades.
Mm-hmm. Todd Bentley's one of
the chaos is not confusion. Mm-hmm. Chaos is not order, and mm-hmm. so we have to have order.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have peace and not unrest.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Well, right, verse 33. What led to that situation? Do you think he had done that? What led to that?
Disorder.
Disorder. So they didn't usually say they spoke to us at a time, they interrupted each other, all these things. He says, don't do that. And because they did do it, God is not the author of confusion. But what is he the author of? Verse 3. Peace. How would you define peace? Has it right there?
Calmness.
Calmness? Yes. There's peace that passes understanding. It's a message that
quietness of the spirit.
Quietness of spirit. And the first chapter 5 of Romans 5:1. Therefore, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A tremendous peace with God, and then there's the peace of God that passes all understanding. As in all the church of the saints. So we trust that all the churches had peace, and that's what he said. As in, that's back to, is the author of peace in the church. Did we read 34? Okay. Now, what is true here about the women in the church, let's say, as preachers particularly, what does God say about them?
Quickly,
Paul.
In verse 34, says, let the women keep silent in the church where it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to speak under obedience, as also said Paul.
Yes, that's true. Now, certainly it would include people, women in the pulpit, preaching and teaching the Word of God. And I believe that in Bible studies, like we're doing here tonight, we express our opinions on that, makes it different. But are there women preachers in our country today?
Yes.
Sure, are many of them. Forget how many thousands of different denominations, different things. This is a sad day. That's to be forbidden. Not the author of confusion is part of it. Let them keep silence, not permitted to them to speak, but commanded the end of obedience, like the Old Testament 10.
So do you think the context of this then would be as far as prophesying?
Possibly, yes. I would think so, because one of the signs of the times were there. One of them was prophecy. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't be prophesying in the church. That's right. Carrying on. And we apply that also to ministry and preaching. There's a lot of preachers, I think, women preachers, even in college, but somewhere, one of these churches around.
Across the street.
Across the street. Yes. Did you have something? No, let me touch that.
And it says, it highlights it here, verse 2, verse 3, for it also said the law.
Mm-hmm. The law of Moses.
So they think Miriam was disciplined for doing something that was out of order related to some positive. Miriam, the brother from his sister of Aaron, mm-hmm. sister Moses. Is that right? Or
she had leprosy.
She was taking charge of something. By the way, she said Miriam. She had Aaron said that they were both were part of the ministry. I mean, it wasn't just Moses that was called. It was both, all three of them.
Mm-hmm. And what did God do to Mary?
She had leprosy.
Had leprosy, absolutely. So there's something that she did was not in the line that should have been. But the New Testament is very clear as far as men should be
taking authority, I think.
Yes, she was taking authority also.
Yeah,
it's very clear that in the New Testament that the women should be silent in the churches, and then they won't be the leaders and prophets and speaking and preachers. Then we read 35 or not? We haven't read it, have we? Have we read 35?
No.
Let's read 35, 36, and 37 again. And if they will learn anything but the master of husbands at home, that is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that they write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. That's verse 36. 35, okay. What is true? What should the women do if they want to learn some of the scriptural things? Yes, Paul.
Since the women are commanded to keep silent in church, and they need, if they want to know, they should ask their husbands.
All right, at home. And it's a shame for, as I mentioned here, for women to speak in the church. And very certainly the preachers and ministers in that way, mm-hmm. It's a shame of it.
So this is like if there's a question, a Bible question, it's like a woman should ask her husband, what does this mean? Mm-hmm.
Instead of bringing up the whole church as they're talking.
Well, I want to say one more.
Go ahead.
All right, I'll forget one second. So when you ask your husband, the husband has to search it out.
Yes.
So that makes him look in the Bible to find things.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I've had women tell me that.
That's true. And the order is the husband is the head of the wife and should love the wife as Christ loved the church, and the wife should be subject to the husband. It's not always easy for either party, husband or wife, to do what God says to do. It's difficult. I've always said it's more difficult for the husband to love their wife as Christ loved the church, which is an impossibility, than for the wife to be subject to the husband. We think it's higher, but many times we don't even try. Should for his husbands.
Everyone has their opinion.
Everyone has their
own opinion. Trust
to
be someone that's not perfect like Christ.
Exactly. That's someone that's not perfect
like
Christ.
It's not always easy.
It's not always easy. Exactly right. So that's verse number 35. The shape of the speech. In other words, I think that the women preacher for sure. Taking charge and so on and so forth. And then the verse 36, you know?
Yes.
Now, what is that true concerning the coming forth of the Word of God? What does that convey? What does that say? It's a question. What does it mean? Came the Word of God out from you, or came it unto you also? Only. Thoughts on that? What?
Maybe some of these people are getting sort of uppity and thinking they knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
But came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't come unto you, you can't have it go out from you.
That's right. And of course, in this day, when they had the signs, these prophetic signs, gifts, the Lord did give some of them prophecy and various other things, speaking in tongues, understanding tongues and languages and so on. That was true. But in the final analysis, you've got to be sure that the Word of God comes to you before you can speak it and talk to other people and teach it. Okay.
Well, if that understanding is correct, then why did they say to use the word only? Came it unto you only.
Mm-hmm. So from it came to you.
It seems like it may refer back to prophecy, since came the Word of God out from you. And or came it unto you only.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the working and taking care of the Bible, New Testament or Old Testament, the Word of God had to come from the Lord, had to give that to the writer, a special privilege to put that thing down. The writer didn't invent the Word of God, but God gave them the words to write down.
Well, but in this time period, it was a special gift of prophecy.
Yes, that's true.
So, was that not the Word of God?
Yes. But to some people who didn't have that gift, you can't make it up. It didn't come from you. What does he mean if this is understood that way? What does he think this means? Why is he asking these questions?
Well,
we're all given the gift of prophecy at this time. No, they were just some were. So I may be trying those that didn't have the gift of prophecy. Then they say, God didn't give you that. It just came to you, but not from you. Maybe it's just providing different people that had the gift of prophecy, those that did not. Any other thoughts on that? Proverbs 36, did we read 37?
Yes, we did.
We didn't read 37. Now, what does he say about a man here? What is the question in this particular verse here? It's 37. Man thinks it's not to be a prophet or spiritual. In that time, God did have some of them had to get questions. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. That's a call or comment. That's for that.
Well, they have to acknowledge the fact that Paul's writings of Scripture and commandments of the Lord, they can't disregard them. Mm-hmm. They can't put their own thoughts, their own prophecy above that of clearly what is Scripture.
Mm-hmm. And Paul himself, what does he say about himself here as far as prophecy and speaking? What does he say in this verse 37? He says, the things I read unto you are what?
Commandments.
In other words, the Holy Spirit gave him the very words of the Scripture that he's writing here in 1 Corinthians, and he's stating the fact that I didn't make these things up. Things I write are the very commandments of the Lord. Everything he put down in this book and the other books he wrote, the one that wrote more books than any other in the New Testament. And so, let him acknowledge. In other words, when Paul, oh, excuse me, Bob.
Well, commanding himself to be a prophet or spiritual and acknowledge. So I think Paul thought himself to be a prophet, evidently.
Well, God used him to write that.
Excuse me?
That's right, it's write all these things.
Spiritual, he thought himself. Acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So because I know that this is spiritual, it's coming from God, it's not just me. Mm-hmm. So I write to you what I write is the commandments from the Lord. But we don't all have that.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's
right. There's temporary scientists of prophecy. There also were writers that had the true, consistent gift, like the writers in the New Testament that God gave the privilege of writing down. But the Holy Spirit that gave the words to write down. So he said, these are the commands of the Lord for me. There's no question about that. And then, you read 38 yet or not?
No.
Let's read 38, 39, and 40. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covenant the prophecy, forbid not to speak with tongues, but all things be done decently and in order. Verse 38. How would you define ignorant? Can you handle that question?
Not knowing.
Not knowing. Exactly what it is. An egg is not a tomorrow. It's from a fork. No, not knowing. It's an ignorant. And what do you think he's meaning by this 38? That's the heaven.
Well, sometimes not only do they not know, but they don't want to know. And
that's true.
They're very hard to hear. Mm-hmm.
And not only do they not know, but they think they know. And they don't. And other thoughts on ignorance. There's a whole structure of things I can remember. I don't remember. But those that know, and they know they know, or something.
Sorry,
yeah, it's a baby breath. Okay, report it.
Oh, we have to go.
We have a resident expert in New York.
New York. Do you have that with you there, Anna, in York, Pennsylvania?
She may be doing three or four things.
She's going to do three or four things. She just wants to say hello. He either knows or knows not that he knows. It's something. He either knows not and thinks he knows something. He knows or knows he knows or something else. It's a very good problem.
Is it something?
He's avoiding or something.
Avoiding. It's a very certain thing. Very good Arabian prophet.
Here,
Jacob.
Oh,
Jacob,
the
reading department. Here's Jacob Gilman. Okay. Yes, where's Jacob?
Yes.
And to Texas. Where's Jacob? Dan?
Hello, Pastor Wade.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I don't usually call in. I'm usually pretty tired on the week, on Thursday night, but you know how I'm calling a lot of times, Pastor Wade, and I'm a few verses late, or maybe I wanted to go to a verse in the last book.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Go back 3 weeks. That's fine. Go ahead.
When we were talking about this gift of tongues, it was first in Acts chapter 2, that other the languages, I was thinking that after the tower of Babel, God confused their languages.
Yes.
And they had a sign of disapproval. Mm-hmm. But he unconfused their languages there on the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
And I have a purple one. The church, the Holy Spirit being sent.
Yes.
And two or three weeks later, I
appreciate the take care of it.
I already called him, so I'm sure I'll do it.
Thanks.
God bless you all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the Bible study and everything.
That's way to Jacob and his mother. They're in Texas. We're down in Texas. Thank you for that comment. Then, Tan, you got something?
I'm not sure. This isn't quite the one you had, but it's close.
Uh-huh.
See, he that knows not, and knows not that he knows not, is a fool. Shun him. He that knows not, and knows that he knows not, is a student. Teach him. He who knows, and knows not that he knows, is asleep. Wake him. He who knows, and knows that he knows, is wise. Follow him.
Very good. I think that's about it.
It's close.
That's what happened?
No.
Oh, you're fine.
Who's coming?
Good. Want to try that once more? So it can sink in. Then.
Okay.
Four.
So we had avoidance. Yeah. He that knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him or avoid him.
Avoid
him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a student. But we didn't say students, it's something else.
Right.
Teach him.
Teach him, right.
Simple, I think.
Simple, right.
Teach him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep. Wake him.
Wake him. Of course.
He who knows and knows that he knows is wise. Follow him.
Very good. Well, let's just find that then. So let's look at what ignorant is all day. Any other comments on that one? Now, in verse number 39, what does covet mean? This is really a good sense.
I don't know what Cass is calling
it. I don't know if you couldn't find it. Pastor Dan.
Desire.
Desire. Okay. Desire. Yeah, Dan.
A strong desire.
Strong desire. What should they strongly desire in this verse number 38, 39? Yes, sir.
They should strongly desire to read it to go to scriptures.
All right. And what particularly in verse 39? While they had these gifts, what should they desire as long as they had these before the Bible was completed? What's the first thing they should desire? The hands on that? In verse 39?
What's your question?
What should they desire most at that?
The prophecy.
The prophecy. In other words, God gives them their words, and you know, they have the gift of prophecy, that people could be instructed and informed and could grow. And they can understand perhaps rather than talk about the goodness.
Master Barbara.
Master Barbara, okay. Let's see about Master Barbara. Barbara Master. Yes, Barbara, go ahead.
Hi, Pastor Wade. I've got a PhD on one note. You're to covet to prophesy, which goes back to you are to covet to edify and exhort and comfort the church.
Yes, that's very good. Thank you. Let's wave to Barbara again.
Barbara.
Barbara Master. She can't see.
We'll wave
at her. She can hear.
We can say hi.
She's from New Jersey here. Okay. And what's the second thing? Covet. Prophesy. And what's the word not to covet?
Forbid not to speak in tongues.
In other words, you do it, but the most important. Jacob talked about the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. What was true? What kind of people came to Jerusalem and why? What was the speech that they were celebrating? Yes, confession that?
All the Jewish people from around the Mediterranean basin.
Did they all speak the same language? No. Did they all speak the same? No. And what was the feast that they were celebrating in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2?
Passover.
The Feast of Pentecost. But there are all kinds of people. So what did God marvelous do, and why did he do it?
He allowed them all to be able to speak in their
here.
It was being spoken in their own language.
And so the prophet, the apostles were given a special gift. Talk to these people, tell them so they could go back home and have the gospel preached understandably to them. It's very important, isn't it? So God forbid speaking in tongues. But then in verse 40, the most important thing of all is to do what?
All things be done decently
and in order. Now there's two or three at a time, but don't interrupt one another. So these are three
got 10. So is this brethren, is that then referring to men? Because it's a covet to prophesy, and the women were to prophesy.
Yes, they could be. Sometimes brethren means brothers and sisters, but in some cases it's just the brothers. Probably in this case it wouldn't be just the men. That's right. The women were to do it with the men. Any other comments or questions? We'll stop here and get up, Lord willing, at chapter 15 next Thursday. Any other comments, though, before we close? All right, now let's close. Be sure to read Beverly Quinn from Hamilton, Missouri. Long way away, 45 minutes or so. Let's close. Our Father, we do thank thee for thy grace. Thank thee for these verses in 1 Corinthians 14. Difficult unless we realize that God has given a special time, special scientific time to these Christian believers that were gifted according to thy will before the Bible was completed. And we know that many Pentecostals and Charismatics still think they should have these gifts when the Bible is complete. Sometimes they speak contradicting the Bible. That's a terrible sin and wickedness. The fact that the Scriptures are clear that these gifts, sign gifts, were given by thee before the Bible was complete. We thank thee now, Lord, we have a completed Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. We ask you, Lord, to give us wisdom and how to understand the Scriptures and read the Scriptures and obey thy words. With us and bless us, bring us back safely in the Lord's name. We thank you for those who have called from all over the world, of states, of China, and other places. Take your bless and use them wherever they may be, and use us here. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.